Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Almirall Full Year 2018 Financial Results Conference. This presentation was released earlier this morning and is available on our corporate website. Presenting today, we have Peter Guenter, Chief Executive Officer, David Nieto, Executive Vice President, CFO, Bhushan Hardas, Executive Vice President, Research and Development, CSO, and Ron Menezes, GM of Almirall U.S. Peter will make some introductory remarks about the year and later come up to sum up. Ron will give you some color about the recent launch of Seysara in the U.S. David will provide you with data on the financials, and Bhushan will talk about our pipeline. After that, we will open up for a Q&A session. Before we move ahead, I would like to remind you that certain statements that we will make in this presentation are forward-looking statements. These forward-looking statements reflect Almirall's judgment and analysis only as of today, and results may differ materially from current expectations based on a number of factors affecting our businesses. With that, I will pass you over to our CEO, Peter Guenter.
Thanks a lot, Pablo, for the introduction, and good morning to everyone on the call. 2018 has been a very strong year for Almirall, and the business has evolved in a very positive fashion. In the fourth quarter, we had a continued strong business momentum driven by our key brands across Europe, and we are pleased to have delivered our upgraded guidance, which we provided at Q3 to include the contribution from the Allergan acquisition. At the end of last year, we launched Ilumetri in Europe, and Skilarence is progressing with strong sales in Germany and the Netherlands. They continue to roll out across Europe, and I will make some comments on this shortly. Following the Allergan acquisition, we have launched Seysara in the U.S. at the start of the year, and we are already benefiting from brands in this acquired portfolio. We were also very pleased with the progress made with our late-stage pipeline last year, as multiple products achieved their primary efficacy endpoint in phase III clinical trials. Furthermore, something that is not always spoken about but is critical to any organization is the capabilities and people within, and we are pleased that we continue to attract key talent to Almirall, which in particular has enabled us to strengthen key areas such as medical affairs and digital. As I mentioned, we had strong business momentum in 2018, driven by our key brands across Europe, which continues into this year. We are pleased to deliver a strong set of financials and achieve the second upgraded guidance following good performances from key brands and improved product mix, driving an increase in gross margin. While investing in new product launches, one of our focal points has been on cost, and this will continue to be a priority for us. David will speak more about this shortly. Incorporated in our second guidance upgrade was a transformational deal with Allergan, which has provided a meaningful impact on our business in Q4. With the U.S. launch of Seysara in January, this will continue to fuel our growth in this key market. Almirall starts 2019 with a good credit rating, reflecting our operational flexibility and healthy balance sheet, whilst we actively pursue other acquisitions and late-stage in-licensing opportunities that align with our corporate strategy. Almirall's portfolio has transformed following the acquisition of the medical dermatology portfolio in the U.S. As you can see from this slide, this transaction significantly increased medical dermatology sales, which now represents about around 50% of sales. It has also meant that sales are more focused in the most important geographical areas. Importantly, returning to the theme of talent within the organization, it has boosted our U.S. leadership team, which is now comprised of several ex-Allergan executives with a deep knowledge of the acquired product portfolio. On the next slide, you can see that this is a very exciting period in Almirall's history. We are really transforming our portfolio with innovative products in medical dermatology. In a relatively short period of time, we have launched three products in our key markets and advanced ALM-14789 with positive phase III clinical trial results in actinic keratosis. Combined, these four products could generate peak sales in excess of 700 million euros. When you consider that our product sales in 2018 were a little over 750 million euros, then you can see just how transformational these products could be for Almirall. And that is not all. We will continue to look for relevant opportunities for our portfolio, and just recently we announced the deal with Dermira, giving us an option on lebrikizumab, which could become another future growth driver for the business. Bhushan will provide some additional information on this opportunity shortly. As you can see from the next chart, the Skilarence rollout is progressing well. We had mentioned to you at Q3 results that we were happy with the launch trends, despite the softer Q3 due to one calendar week less in the quarter, plus a price equalization with the GBA in Germany. And you can clearly see here the acceleration in Q4, which has us entering 2019 with an annual run rate of around 30 million euros. We are very pleased with the demand in the Netherlands, which is an important market due to the significant previous DMF experience there. This provides us with a strong foundation as we continue to roll out across Europe. We launched in Spain in September and Italy in January. Next up in our launch schedule is Portugal, Slovakia, Czech Republic, and Belgium. Now, let's move to Ilumetri. Ilumetri is an IL-23p19 inhibitor for the treatment of adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic therapy. Psoriasis carries a high disease burden, and patients can have a very significantly impacted quality of life. In such cases, therefore, it is important that any therapy provides long-term control. A short-term fix is not what is needed here. Patients need a long-term treatment strategy to reduce this disease burden and improve their quality of life. In this context, we believe that Ilumetri is very well placed, as you can see on the following slide. This long-term study shows that 92% of the patients that showed improvement at week 28 maintained the efficacy at the end of 3 years. As of today, this is the longest follow-up of any IL-23 blocker. Furthermore, Ilumetri has been shown to be effective in 3 out of 4 patients who did not respond to a TNF-alpha blocker. We believe that Ilumetri has a strong profile with the key attribute being a proven lasting efficacy and with no significant safety concerns. Last but not the least, Ilumetri offers a very convenient dosing regimen with only 4 doses a year during maintenance. The excellent safety profile and lower dosing frequency will encourage long-term patient adherence to the treatment. I had been in the field myself right after the launch, and the physicians recognized these quite compelling product features as relevant to their daily practice. In terms of launch planning, we have launched Ilumetri in Germany and are on track with the subsequent launches. 2019 is a very busy year for our teams, as you can see with a number of key market introductions, with more to follow in 2020. The first readings following the launch have been encouraging, and we believe Ilumetri will be another important growth driver for Almirall. Now we want to introduce you to another key product for Almirall, and we are fortunate to have with us today Ron Menezes, who heads up our U.S. business. And Ron is going to take just a few minutes to speak about Seysara. Over to you, Ron.
Thank you very much, Peter, and good morning, everyone. I'm very happy to be here today to have the opportunity to speak to all of you about Seysara and the launch in the U.S. Let me go over some key features of this product before we get into more details. First of all, Seysara is a once-daily, next-generation, tetracycline-derived oral antibiotic. It is the first new chemical entity for the treatment of acne to be approved by the FDA in a decade, and it was specifically designed for acne. It is also the first new oral antibiotic indicated for acne in 40-plus years. 2 key studies confirmed the efficacy of Seysara at 12 weeks, with a reduction in acne lesions seen as early as 3 weeks. It can also be prescribed for patients as young as 9 years or age or older, and it has side effects very similar to placebo. There's also a long-term term safety study of 12 months that showed that patient side effects were very similar to the 12-week studies. Dermatologists in the U.S. are very excited to have a new oral antibiotic developed for them and patients with acne, which has demonstrated rapid onset of action with inflammatory lesions. Seysara's launch brings a major opportunity for Almirall in Almirall U.S. and is an excellent fit with our selling capabilities, where we have had a deep knowledge and experience in the oral antibiotic market for acne. We also, as Peter explained, have several ex-Allergan senior executives in the management team. We do expect Seysara to achieve peak sales somewhere between $150 to $200 million in net sales. Let's look at a Seysara in the market in more detail. It was launched in January with a very focused plan. For those not as familiar with the U.S. market, let me walk you through some key components of that market that will drive Seysara launch and revenues in 2019. This graph shows three main components in play in the first year during a regular launch. By the way, this is an example and not necessarily a reflection of Seysara performance. First is demand. It's self-explanatory, and you see usually in the launch, the products will have a slow growth throughout the year. In this case, a key part of that is rebates and access. Normally, you have a 20 to 30% coverage at launch, and our goal is to be at 50% at the end of the year. The other part of that is rebates, like I said. Finally, there's copay support, which is a key part in the U.S. market. Now, the green line illustrates usually the buildup of net sales. Why? Because you're getting better access, you're getting the promotion out there, and also are in the first quarter of 2019, you have deductible season. Now, this is a normal launch, but we are excited to share that even though our goal is to be at 20-30% at the beginning of the year, we're at 44% access right now with some key contracts signed the last 2 to 4 weeks. We do have some of those plans have a 70% of them. You have to step through a generic first. As the year progresses and market coverage increases, this will also be boosted by reduction gross to net and increase in revenues. In other words, a non-linear progression of reported quarterly sales. Our strategy has been to establish the product in the market first and what I believe is a competitive marketplace and market price. So now I'll pass over to David to provide you more comments on our financial performance.
Thank you, Ron, and good morning to everyone. We deliver what we believe a very good set of financial results in line with our upgraded guidance as mentioned by Peter. Total revenue and net sales grew by 8%, 8 and 11 respectively, and were boosted by the key brands such as Skilarence and Crestor, as well as the contribution of Allergan portfolio in Q4. Regarding gross margin, which reached 70%, it represents a significant improvement driven by both products and also geographic mix. Despite the investment in new launches, SG&A continued to exhibit good control of our cost with a year-over-year decline of around 2% in absolute value, which helped to drive EBITDA growth of about 48%. Finally, I would like to highlight the excellent operational cash flow at $143 million, and our net debt at the end of 2018 was below expectation at $533 million. Of course, we had some challenges, mainly linked to the Thermigen poor performance. As you can see, the revenue contributor for the full year, the legacy product performed well. Crestor and Skilarence were important contributors, as well as the acquired Allergan portfolio, which slightly exceeded our expectation. Our main downside was Thermi. Turning next to the P&L, allow me to highlight a few things. Net sales increased 11%, coming in particular from our medical dermatology portfolio. Other income, as expected, was lower than in 2017. R&D was flat year over year and accounted for 11.6% of sales. Our long-term goal remains to be in the range of 12 to 13%. Note that in addition to R&D, we also invest in in-licensing, going through the balance sheet and cash flow directly. Regarding SG&A, let me give you more detail on the next chart. You see here the evolution of SG&A for the full year and Q4. In 2018, we delivered very meaningful savings of over $40 million, which enabled us to invest in new product launches. In Q4, the launch costs were higher given the Ilumetri launch and the preparation of Seysara in the U.S. This strong performance generated an impressive EBITDA growth of 48% and a margin improvement close to 700 basis points at 27.7%. In Q4, we took an impairment on Thermigen, which was partially compensated by the write-up of Aqua intangible assets and the renegotiation of our agreement with Sun Pharma on Ilumetri. All in all, our EPS reached 51 cents versus 16 cents last year. This chart illustrates the cash evolution during 2018. Operating cash flow was very strong at 143 million. We refinanced the 400 million bridge loan of Allergan deal by issuing a convertible bond and a syndicated loan. Key investments were the Allergan deal and the investment in licensing such as Ilumetri, Athenex, and Crestor. That leaves us with 86 million cash at the end of 2018 and a net debt position of 533 million below expectation. Given this, the board of directors decided to increase the dividend by 7% to 20.3 cents per share, subject to AGM approval. Looking at the balance sheet, I simply want to highlight the impact of the Allergan deal and the refinancing. You can see the increase in the intangible assets, as well as in the basically net debt. All in all, our balance sheet is healthy, and our net debt position, again, is below what we expected at this point. Looking at the cash flow, operating cash flow generation was, as I said, 143 million, very strong, and something that we are very pleased with. Investments were, of course, very important in 2018, significantly higher than last year, particularly driven by the Allergan deal. Going back to the refinancing, during Q4, we refinanced the bridge loan related to the acquisition of the portfolio from Allergan and achieved very competitive conditions. For this, we combined two instruments. We issue a convertible bond for $250 million with three-year maturity at the rate of 0.25% and a premium of 27.5%. Second, we issue a syndicated loan with four Spanish banks for $150 million with 5 years maturity and a fixed rate of 2.1%. Note that our intention is to execute an equity-neutral strategy, and we started it by currently holding 1.4% of treasury shares through an equity swap. On a pro forma basis, our leverage is well below 2.5x EBITDA, and we are deleveraging faster than expected. This means that our firepower to explore inorganic growth remains intact. On this slide, we want to reiterate our priorities when it comes to capital allocation. First, our priorities goes to invest behind new product launches and build our European franchise in psoriasis and the acne franchise in the U.S. For this, we talked earlier about the important effort we are doing to reallocate SG&A resources. Second, we are focused on strengthening our R&D pipeline, which is at the core of being a specialty pharma company. This also includes the in-licensing of phase 3 assets, like we recently did with the Athenex deal and also the Delmira deal that we recently announced that Peter talked about. Bouchard will talk more about it next. Third, we want to provide a secure and stable to growing dividend to shareholders. Finally, we will focus on M&A accretive deals that will reinforce our core business and bring critical mass to further leverage our fixed cost base. I will now pass it over to Bhushan to discuss update on the R&D pipeline.
Thank you, David. First, let's have a quick look at our late-stage pipeline, which is developing really well. As you know, we had announced positive results for the phase 3 trials for three products, actinic keratosis, androgenic alopecia, and more recently, onychomycosis, in which all of the trials did meet their primary efficacy endpoint. Furthermore, this month, we have acquired an option for lebrikizumab for atopic dermatitis from Dermira. When we execute the option, this will be a phase 3 biologic for atopic dermatitis. So let me tell you more about lebrikizumab. So we have acquired options for development and commercialization of the product in the EU with an upfront payment of $30 million. Regards to the product itself, lebrikizumab is being developed for the treatment of moderate to severe atopic dermatitis in adult population. Lebrikizumab is an anti-IL-13 monoclonal antibody that binds to IL-13 specifically, preventing the formation of IL-13 receptor alpha, IL-4 receptor alpha complex, thereby blocking downstream signaling. The data from the phase 2B clinical trial will be available to us in second quarter 2019. We will have 45 days to review and come to the decision as to whether we want to execute the option or not. If we decide to execute an option, we will pay additional $50 million. This is an excellent opportunity for Almirall to access an interesting late-stage product for the atopic dermatitis where there is still a very high unmet medical need. Now, looking at the population in the EU that will suffer from atopic dermatitis, we expect in 2026, about 18 million patients will be suffering from atopic dermatitis, of which 5.6 million will be suffering with moderate to severe atopic dermatitis, and we think about 11 to 14% of these patients will seek a new treatment that makes it up to 500,000 patients. Currently, there is only one biologic approved for moderate to severe atopic dermatitis. Thereby gives Almirall a unique opportunity to help the patients with atopic dermatitis live a healthy life. Now looking at the pipeline. Regards to registration of our product filing, in Q3, we plan to file onychomycosis. In Q4, we plan to file androgenic alopecia. Both of them are for EU. As for data presentation, day 57 efficacy data for phase 3 for actinic keratosis will be presented at the annual Academy of Dermatology meeting in the U.S. next month, early next month. We will also present one-year recurrency data results at the beginning of Q3 this year. As mentioned earlier, we expect to receive phase 2B data from lebrikizumab in Q2, which could lead into acquisition of a product for EU. Though we mostly focus our late-stage pipeline by acquisition of an asset, we are fully committed to develop highly innovative medical dermatology products by internal efforts. Today, we have about 14 projects in early development. Multiple partnerships with companies listed below, such as Eschem, Ibutech, complement these programs. We also collaborate with universities and academic institutions. This year, we will expand our capabilities in external science and innovation to increase our research reach for innovation that will eventually help all the patients suffering from dermatological diseases. With this, I will hand it over to Peter.
Thanks a lot, Bhushan. So as you have clearly heard from us this morning, we have delivered a strong operational performance in 2018. As we look into 2019 and even further ahead, we look for growth to be driven by the recent launches in the EU of Ilumetri and Skilarence for psoriasis, and the current US rollout of Seysara for acne. As I mentioned before, these products have the potential to transform the profile of Almirall. Furthermore, as you heard from Bhushan, we are progressing our pipeline, and we also remain fully focused on searching for additional external opportunities to further complement this growth profile and generate sustainable value for shareholders. To finish, we provide you with our guidance for 2019. In 2019, total revenues are expected to grow at low double digits and net sales at a similar rate, with other income at approximately 20%. For EBITDA, we expect between 290 to 300 million euros. It is important to bear in mind here that the discontinuation of Thermi and the IFRS changes have a negative impact on sales in the region of 3 to 4 percentage points, and these two items are already incorporated in our guidance. So, Pablo, I am back to you now for instructions on the Q&A.
Thank you very much, Peter. Ahmed, back to you for the Q&A, please.
Thanks a lot. Hello. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A queue. This will only take a few moments. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, please press star and one if you wish to ask a question. And the first question comes from the line of Truong Huai from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my questions. I have three, if I can. Firstly, with the Allergan portfolio and Seysara's launch in the US, can you perhaps discuss the pricing and competitive trends in acne that you're seeing? How are the prescriptions in pharmacies following the issues you've had in the past? Secondly, for 2018, you have growth of the Allergan portfolio, Skilarence and Ilumetri's rollout, but what are your expectations for the base business? This looks to be in slight decline. And then thirdly, your other income line for 2019 seems to be quite ahead of consensus. Can you tell us what you're expecting from this line and what I'm missing? Thanks very much.
Okay, thanks, Trum. So first question on Allergan, competitive situation, prescription trends, pricing, I will defer to Ron. However, you know, we have decided not to give you any detailed data on the Seysara launch, more as a matter of principle, because I think it's, you know, as a principle too early, but I can tell you that we are quite pleased with what we have seen in the first couple of weeks. So, Ron, if you could tackle the question on pricing and what you see in the market there.
Thanks, Peter. In regards to pricing, we priced Seysara very, very competitive. As a matter of fact, you have a new novel product, new technology with several advantages I discussed. We actually priced in the low end of the wholesale acquisition price compared to branded antibiotics. So we did that for the purpose of staying very, very competitive there. And we actually got a lot of positive feedback from the third-party payers, the managed care payers in the U.S. from that perspective. In regards to the acne market, you know, as you know, there are 80 million Americans that are looking for treatment of acne. There are a lot of generics. That's why we're competitive from that perspective. So
perhaps I would like to add one thing, Trong, is you have seen in, or you have heard in the presentation of Ron, that actually we're very pleased with the market access. So we're already at 44%. And that, I think, is also a very good sign for the future development of the product. And also the fact that we, you know, we price the product in a, I would call it, a responsible way. For the second and the third question, I'll defer to David.
Yes. Thank you for the question. So on the base business, we're pretty pleased with the performing 2018. I have to say that the slight being slight below is normal. When you look at the generic impact that we had in 18 was much lower than we expected. So all in all, I think maybe the difference between the overperformance that you maybe have mentioned a little bit on the Allergan and the total number is more driven by the decline of Thermi. That is where, let's say, the issue is. On the balance of where you see the growth. And talking about your third question, 2019 on other income, the slight increase or the so slight increase, the 20% increase we expect is given, you know, our expectation on certain milestone that I cannot give you details, but you can imagine that this is going to be an important year when it comes to milestone payments. Some are already on the balance sheet as we accrue, as we move forward and probability is increasing. Some are maybe getting triggered by certain events happening during this year, and, you know, probability are a little bit more binary than we can move them forward as time passes. So I think with that guidance, It's a good guidance. We're comfortable with it. It's sometimes difficult to communicate because some of the events could be a little bit more binary than others. I hope I answered your question with that.
Excellent. Thanks very much.
Thank you. And the next question comes from the line of Francesco Ruiz from Exane. Please ask your question.
Hi, good morning. I have three or four questions. The first one is regarding IFRS 16. You get the guidance with an IFRS 16 EBITDA of 290 to 300 million. Can you tell us what is the impact on that, taking into account that in 18 the impact has been around 8 million euros? And if you could give us the impact in net debt. I don't know if you are giving us the net debt according to IFRS 16 already in 18, or we will have an increase on the debt in 19 figures. The second question is, if we assume a delta of around 100 million euros contribution from Allergan in year 2019, I think your sales will be increasing less than 5%. Taking into account Ilumetri and Skilarence contribution, doesn't seem quite low. And then if you could give us, David, the current situation of the financial asset that corresponds to the milestone payment of Astra. Thank you.
I think we'll take the three questions unless Peter wants to add something on the second. So on the first one, on the IFRS 16, we have put an appendix on page 41 that gives you a little bit of detail on how those changes will happen. We basically going to apply them from 19 onwards. There is no need of applying it in 18. This is a new. Some company had the choice. It was a choice to do it in 18 or not. It happened late in the year, or that. But that's only mandatory from 1st of January. It will give us a P&L, at least at EBITDA level, increase of 7 to 8 million that we, of course, have reflected in our guidance, but will not restate 2018. We give you the appendix 41 for you to have an idea on how it would look like if we would restate basically 2018. On the net debt, you can think about the 20 million impact. So basically, the IFRS 16 asks you to capitalize leases and put the corresponding debt to the balance sheet. So that's what it is about. 20 million of debt that is not new, but it's just a new way of accounting for things. On the other hand, I think the question that you're asking us is about the contribution. I think what you have to make sure is that you understand that this is a portfolio that is having mature products that are, some are going generic. So basically, as the quarter passes, some will come back and have some generic impact starting in, let's say, late second half of 19. But at the same time, we have the growing launches of Seysara. The timing will not be perfect. And basically, you will see maybe in the second half of this year, a little bit of a slowdown in the total, I would say, what we would call Allergan portfolio, including Seysara. So basically, don't take Q4 as a way to run rate things and add on top Seysara. Don't forget that we mentioned when we acquired the Allergan medical dermatology portfolio that Axone will go generic in the second half of 19. And finally, the last question, which I forgot. You had a third question.
Yeah, the third question on what is the current assets related to the financial asset related to the milestone from Astra, as we don't have the full balance sheet yet, or at least I don't.
So the balance sheet gives you the what we have some financial assets in the balance sheet, and if you look at the increase on a year over year about the account receivable, you can think about the thing that we have been moving already in Q3 last year, which is a short-term movement, because when a milestone is due in less than 12 months, I have to move it from a non-current to a current asset. So basically, you could see that you have that movement that we indicate on page 24. that basically that movement of accounts receivable, which is offset partially by the financial assets that are non-current, I cannot give you the number. I think I can give you an idea. It gives you an idea about the magnitude of what we expect.
Yeah. Francisco, it's Peter speaking. I would like to give you a little bit more color on your second question also. So, Allergan, and then what is the company actually doing outside of Allergan? Of course, we have Allergan, so therefore we don't split out our numbers in, former or later, with or without Allergan. But what I can tell you is that the contribution, of course, of the launches you mentioned, Skilarence, Ilumetri on the quote-unquote non-Allergan piece, and then, of course, Seysara on the Allergan piece, is that you have to bear in mind, of course, that Ilumetri in reality in 2019, this year, is basically going to be Germany-only sales. Because in the other countries, with the exception of some small countries in the Nordics, you have to go through the pricing and the reimbursement procedures. So any sales that you will see in 2019 will be quasi-exclusively Germany sales. Again, we will be able to provide you some first color after the first quarter. I want to be more as a policy. I really want to see some trends before we start talking to you guys. But what I do can tell you is that we're quite excited with the first numbers coming in after a couple of weeks. And as I mentioned to you before, we're very happy with the Skilarence progress, where, of course, we have more robust trends because we have launched the products now since it's more than a year. And you can see the quarterly growth in Q4, which I think was quite impressive and which gives us very good run rate to enter into 2019. So just a bit more color to your question.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you. And the next question comes from the line of Jaime Escribano from Santander, Banco Santander. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning. So from my side, regarding the guidance 2019, I don't know if you can give us more color of what is the underlying growth excluding Allergan, to be clear what is your expectation of how the rest of the business is growing. Regarding AstraZeneca, although you have mostly answered, but just to maybe to be more clear, the combo, in theory, should be launched in Q2, Q3 in the U.S. Can you give us an update on that, or how do you see it from your perspective? And regarding the performance of Ilumetri, you said that the first weeks are promising. I don't know if you can give us more color on that, would be great. And finally, on the pipeline, the launch of, given that you are doing the submission this year of onychomycosis and alopecia, when would be the launch? Would it be by the end of 2020, or maybe you can give us a little bit more color on that as well? Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks for your question, Jaime. First, on Ilumetri, I'm afraid I have to repeat myself. You have to wait another quarter before we give you some more firm numbers. But again, what I do confirm to you is that we're happy with what we have seen since we're out of the gates with this product in Germany. On the underlying growth, ex-Allergan, I think it's a little bit artificial to give you a precise answer to that question. You have to understand that, of course, we have reallocated our resources significantly in the U.S. to the Allergan portfolio. So obviously, the former legacy Aqua portfolio will go down faster than it normally would have done. So I think it's a little bit artificial to continue to work on this separation between what is ex-Allergan, what is ex-Aqua, especially for the U.S. I would say that for the rest, I think we have a good underlying performance, even if you would strip out the Allergan. We have a Skilarence that is growing fast. We have Ilumetri coming up. Of course, we have products like Ciclopoli, like Sativex, like Almax, even in Spain, who are kind of double-digit on the rendezvous every year. But it's also true that, of course, our base business in Europe is also from time to time suffering from generifications, like we had SolarAce last year, and like we anticipate some price decreases in France this year. We don't provide guidance on every one of those assets, but as an overall result, that's what you get. On the AstraZeneca question, David?
Yeah, so thank you, Jaime, for the question. So on the AstraZeneca, the combo, we have an expectation of Q3. That's what we have put in our assumption for going into this year. And again, I think we expect more good surprises on the AstraZeneca than anything, and this is maybe why we're surprising you on the upside. But, you know, we prefer to always be on the safe side because it would be a little bit more dramatic if we go the other way around. I think things have to happen for the AstraZeneca other income and cashing in to be at the bank. So combo Q3, that's our expectation.
Question to Bhushan on the pipeline.
Hi, Jaime. As we said, we are going to do the submissions for both onychomycosis and androgenic alopecia end of this year, and we expect approval in the second half of 2020 and the launch thereafter.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Just a reminder, if you still wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. And the next question comes from Isabel Caballo from BBVA. Please ask your question.
Hello, good morning. I have three questions, if I may. The first one is regarding Termi. If you can provide a little bit of information about the selling process of this business. The second is regarding the depreciations. According to my numbers, there was an increase in Q4 compared to Q3, and I was wondering why. And the third question is regarding the peak net sales you are showing for the recent product launches and some products in the pipeline. What are you referring to with peak net sales? Thank you. Sorry, and another one. You have mentioned provisions in the Q4 regarding the renegotiation of the contract with Sun Pharma. Could you please tell a little bit more about this? Thank you.
Yes. So thank you, Natalia, for the question. I will take the first, Isabel, sorry, for the first, second, and fourth question, and then Peter will take the third one. So on Thermi, so as we said to you, we are looking at strategic options, and the plan is to give an update by the end of Q1. So that has not changed, and we're still working through that. And we announced to you last time that we have hired a bank in the U.S. to help us assess that. So we expect in the next month to give you more update to it. Note that our guidance is excluding Thermi, in the sense that it's excluding it from 19, but not, of course, not restating 18, which makes, as Peter said, a little bit of a drop in the year-over-year sales. Depreciation amortization in Q4 is increasing because we are amortizing the acquisition of Allergan, and I think that increase is something you have to expect going into 2019. And also, as we launch now in January, Seysara being an intangible asset, at the moment of the launch, we have to start depreciating or amortizing, better said, these assets. So amortization will go up moving forward. Regarding Sun Pharma and the renegotiation, this is something that we already included in our books earlier than Q4. It did not came now. It's about 20 million that we basically had a positive impact from a P&L standpoint and a little bit more from an intangible standpoint. We basically, during 2018, renegotiated with Sun Pharma some of the terms, making them less fixed for us and more variable, like a sort of a win-win approach. And basically, the 20 million are linked to a sort of a clinical trial that we were not needed but had obligation towards it, that we took in 2017 an impairment, if you remember. So if you go back to 17, we took an impairment, and we're just reverting that impairment that basically we have managed to not be obliged to contribute to. So that's what it is. And maybe on the third question, I pass it to Peter.
Yes, Isabel, on the peak sales, you know, if when people ask me, when are peak sales occurring, you know, one way of answering that question would be to say the day before the patent goes off. But it's a little bit more complicated than that. I think it depends on the market actually you're competing in. And to compare, for example, Seysara and Ilumetri, we think that peak sales will be reached faster with Seysara than Ilumetri because Seysara is competing in a very acute market where, of course, the new treatments are kind of 100% of the total market, whereas for Ilumetri, you are only competing in the dynamic segment of a chronic disease, so you really have to wait until new patients come along or you have patients who no longer respond adequately with the biologic or with the oral treatment with whom they're treated, and then this is a new opportunity for Ilumetri. So you understand that the speed of uptake in a chronic market versus an acute market is, of course, very different. Skilarent, I would say that, as you know, is going well, and the reason why we have a very, in my view at least, a good steep uptake with Skilarent is that in countries where you had a lot of previous DMF use or experience, and these are essentially Germany and Holland, of course, we captured quite rapidly a significant share of the DMF use. And I think that we will continue to do that in the future, of course, in those countries. And then you will see the addition of the DMF-naive countries, like, for example, Spain and Italy, to also continue to provide long-term growth for this brand. So I cannot give you a precise year by when peak sales will occur, but, you know, these market dynamics, you have to take them into account. Finally, for our actinic keratosis drug, actually, it depends. It depends on the development, small field, large field. So it's difficult to give you a number at this point in time. Thank you.
Peter, sorry, yes, clarification. I was referring to the word net. When you say peak net sales, for the Thailand or for the new products, are you referring for net as net of royalties or net of discounts?
No, we're referring at royalties are booked as a cost of goods sold in that sense. So basically, is net from a commercial standpoint, basically gross to net wholesaler fees, rebates in the market, etc. The royalties are going like a sort of a cost. Right, in that's the way it's getting accounted for.
Thank you. Before we take the last question, may I just remind you, if you still wish to ask a question, please press star and one. And the next question comes from Peter Welford from Jefferies. Please ask your question.
Hi, thanks. I've got a couple. Firstly, just with regards to the outlook, just to be clear, should we be using as a base the 2018 sales figure without the wholesaler fee of 9.9 for the sales, or should we be using the reported 2018 number as the base to then do applied double digit? And equally then, when we consider the wholesaler's fee in 2019, given the mix is changing slightly with the Allergan genericization and also Seysara launch, should we assume that the wholesaler fee should change at all to the US during 19 relative to what was booked in 18? Secondly, then, I wonder if you could give us some sort of impact just on the SG&A trend going forward in 19. Is there anything particularly we should be thinking about when we consider the SG&A shift during the year, or should we anticipate a similar dynamics to what we saw in 2018? Just on lebrikizumab, then, just wondering there, are there specific criteria that trigger the option payment, or is it a flexible option depending on how you sort of assess the drug? And could you comment at all on what you'll be particularly looking at in the phase 2 data, if that's true, to determine whether or not you will opt in or not for atopic derm? And then just a quick one on 12845, that's for the alopecia product. I see that US is still shown on the chart as being on the pipeline program, but I think you still need to do a phase three if you're going to do US development. Can you possibly provide any sort of update on your thinking for US for alopecia? Thank you.
So I would take you, Peter, thank you for the question. I would take you first to question, and then I will pass it to Peter and Bhushan. So on the guidance, we talk about reported. So basically, it's going to be a reported versus reported, and we're not going to restate 2018, which is, like Peter said, putting a little bit of a pressure downwards because we account now for the wholesaler fees as a deduction of net sales, which is the normal way pharmaceuticals company does. And as you can imagine, as you know, as we have a bigger portfolio now going to the U.S., at least the three quarters we have not yet accounted for, that wholesale fee will go up in that sense. But we're still, let's say, committed to the low double-digit growth, as we just mentioned. SG&A, two things. So first, we continue to reallocate resources. So we basically announced that we will take our aesthetics business and look at strategic options. This is a conscious decision to focus on medical dermatology and take a disproportionate amount of resources put behind aesthetics and for too long of a return and put it where we're focusing on our strategic. So SG&A we will not expect to increase SG&A on a year-over-year basis too much in absolute value. That would be having a slight increase, but the fact that we take the aesthetics SG&A and reallocate it to medical dermatology is going to be a little bit neutral, if I can say that way, from an SG&A standpoint. And the second thing on SG&A is we continue our cost savings program, especially on the procurement side, and on questioning always, where we put our resources into. So I think you should not be expecting a surprise of a growth year-over-year SG&A. It will be on the low single-digit area.
Okay, Peter, on the question on Lebri, look, it's pretty straightforward. This is a totally flexible option. So once we have received the full package of the phase 2B data, it is at our discretion to decide whether we exercise the option or not. So, of course, we will be looking at a whole series of data, efficacy data, tolerability data, dose frequency data, bearing in mind that, of course, today we do anticipate this to become a very important market worldwide, but also in Europe. As Bhushan explained, the market is big. There is a high unmet medical need, and today there's only one biologic registered to treat this moderate to severe atopic dermatitis. So I think we have a very nice opportunity, and of course we will give you much more color if we would decide after the phase 2B data to exercise the option. But to answer your question, it is totally at our discretion. Bhushan, the question on alopecia in the U.S.?
We're still in consideration, and when we do, we'll let you know.
Thank you.
Thank you. This was our last questioner. Pablo, may I hand over back to you?
Thank you, Ahmed. We are not going to close our Q&A session, and with this, we will complete our conference today. We want to thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.